All right. Good evening, everybody. It is Monday night, May 2nd, 2022. I am back, the Don Tony Show. Tonight, we are going to do a little bit of a post-Raw review, get into a couple of wrestling news tidbits, ratings, a couple of additional updates regarding that sad case that is Tammy Sitch, pre-trial detention. You know, on Saturday, I gave everybody a lesson on vicarious liability. Tonight, we talk about pre-trial detention. Little spoiler of what that means. Florida is trying to revoke Tammy's bail and keep her detained until trial. That's a big deal. We'll talk about that and a few other things. Before I go any further, take me 30 seconds. I just want to let everybody know, if you haven't checked out the community section yet today, I did have a long conversation online with Mish. We aired our issues. Mistakes were obviously made, quite a few of them on my part, without a question. And the air is clear. Now I could only do my part, and I hope you can do your part. All I ask is, as far as this channel goes, as far as YouTube, social media, Twitter, which is the same thing, you know, don't troll those guys. I have always said Mish is a good guy. Sometimes, you know, my style, my attitude, I do come off as a dick. There's no question. But, you know, I will do my part. I hope, you know, it is reciprocal as well. And I believe it will be. Absolutely. You know, you don't throw away a 17-year relationship because of which, in a lot of cases, was childish stuff. So everything is cool in the gang. Who knows? Maybe down the line, if you want to stop by for a night, he knows that door is always open. And the thing that's different with Mish, if Mish were to stop by on occasion, it's not a forbidden door. Forbidden door is out of the ordinary. So, all right, let's move on. Raw tonight. And I think what we're going to do, and, you know, I've teased this in the past, never really had a good structure about it, but obviously since we're not calling the show's Breakfast Soup Raw anymore, because for those that don't know, the reason why we came up with the name Breakfast Soup in the first place is that when Mish and I started doing shows together way back when, I used to do a show called Breakfast with Blossie, and he does the show Wrestling Soup, so we combined the two, and it came up with that. But in trying to come up with different names, you know, I had a very established podcaster tell me here, DT, just put everything under the Don Tony Show banner. That's what it is. I mean, Monday is like a Raw post show, and you talk about other tidbits, and you just leave it at that. It doesn't need this extravagant name, and he's right. But in the midst of it, since I've been wanting to do Raw reviews short, you know, like 30 minutes, not spend 2 hours, you know, on a three-hour show, you know, somebody said to me, why don't you do it Raw in 30? So we'll try that tonight. We'll talk about Raw in 30 minutes or less. Doesn't mean we have to go a half hour. I thought tonight's Raw was decent. Some of the things I did not like, especially tag team wrestling tonight. But there was a little consolation, and I really appreciate this comment that James Tutton sent in. And if you did not check out last night's WrestleMania Backlash recap and review, when I go like this, click the link and check it out. We had an extensive conversation about the tag team title unification match that did not happen. And one thing that we talked about last night is that this cannot just go away. We need RK-Bro to come out there and say, we want the Usos tag titles. You remember the Bloodline. The Bloodline wants all the gold. So why would suddenly everybody change their mind? So that was one thing that was absolutely necessary, and we got that tonight. We got it. The only problem is what we also got tonight was this. Are we done with this already? I mean, nothing against the Street Profits, but every week when we talk about the problems with the tag team division, somewhere in it, we mention that RK-Bro ultimately will take on the Street Profits. I mean, my God, put some tag teams together. I mean, this is just ridiculous. And we got that again tonight. And look, as we always say, it's a broken record. Those guys do awesome together. I have to admit, Riddle's RKO off of, from Montez Ford doing the frog splash, because Montez actually did the frog splash. You know, sometimes when you see wrestlers do high fly moves off of the top rope, and obviously somebody moves out of the way, they turn into a reversal. They land on their feet. No, Montez Ford was all in. He's like, nah, I'm doing the frog splash, even though I'm about to get RKO'd. That looked good. But I'm tired. I'm tired of RK-Bro versus Alpha Academy versus the Street Profits. So, you know, thank you for the comment. We talked about it last week. It made no sense. No sense that Fox or the USA Network canceled the unification match, that they want their own champions. Of course they want their own champions. But this is temporary, because at the end of the day, there is a huge problem in the tag team division. There is a huge problem. I'm not in favor of unification matches because it eliminates opportunity for some. Drew McIntyre, you know, he's going to be feuding with Roman Reigns, obviously. But what about all the other heavyweight contenders that should get an opportunity? Till those belts go their separate ways, which will happen in a few months, you know, everybody who is a heavyweight contender, you know, they're not going to come out with anything. So that's one thing that I like tonight. As far as Cody Rhodes taking on Theory tonight, I mean, we all saw that a mile away. Even yesterday, and I keep bringing up yesterday, it was weird because yesterday we had said last night that Cody Rhodes should be having no gold except for heavyweight title. The first title that Cody should have is heavyweight championship gold. We said it last night. And we wake up today and we find out we're getting Theory versus Cody Rhodes for the U.S. title. And look, I was looking forward to a great match, and we did get a great match. You know, keep in mind, Cody Rhodes wrestled a lot of the undercard talent in AEW. Nobody had a problem with it. You know, I understand, all right, well, you know, U.S. title, why are they doing that, blah, blah. Just be happy that we're getting a good match. You know, so we did get that match today. Now, it was pretty obvious that Seth Rollins was going to cause the disqualification. There was never any jeopardy of Theory losing that championship. And, you know, he didn't. Obviously, Seth Rollins came out, caused the DQ after Cody hit the Cody cutter. And then with the curb stomp on the announcers table, that looked awesome. You know, we want to see them in Hell in a Cell. I brought that up last night, too. As soon as their match ended, as soon as it ended, I check out social media. Check out chat room. I check out friends, their reactions. And what I saw within 2 minutes is, you know what, I wouldn't mind if they had a third match. You know what? I hope they do Hell in a Cell. You know, give me Rollins, Rhodes 3. Of course, they're having spectacular matches. You know, it's funny. I had a few people having some fun with me today because I used the term banger yesterday a few times. You know, yes, I have picked up on that. Cody Rhodes, when he did the Broken Skull sessions with Steve Austin, which if you haven't checked it out yet, it was phenomenal. He used the term banger. A lot of people use the term banger. So I got caught using it a few times yesterday. But, you know, we're going to get Rollins Rhodes 3. And it's going to be really interesting to see what that outcome will be. Would they dare have Rhodes go Rhodes on top? 3 times in a row? Could happen. Could very well happen. She's back. She's back. I don't think I have the soundbite. Nope. No. I do. Welcome back. Welcome back, Lily. We told you. We told you. We just had this conversation on Thursday. Somebody had sent in the question as far as when you bring Alexa Bliss back, how do you bring her back? And I said, you know, the Firefly Funhouse stuff that she was doing, the playground, she was selling crazy merch. It was working. If you remember Thursday, the only thing we did not like was the voodoo stuff at the very end. And what we said, the last, you know, voodoo special effects we saw was in that match with Doudrop when Lily winked the eye. That was horrible. So they were forced to stop the voodoo because of, you know, them going back to live crowds on a regular basis now. But Alexa Bliss, she made her return today. I call this look a hybrid of her original look, a little bit of the playground, still bringing the Lily doll out because it sells merchandise. Merchandising! So I like it. I like it. She looks nice. She still has a lot of the hairstyle from her wedding. And, yeah, she did good today. I mean, she won in less than a minute against Sonya Deville. And it's weird that we keep bringing up yesterday. We just said last night about Sonya Deville that they got to do the storyline where they take away her, you know, administrative rights, her powers. She's got to be just a regular wrestler. And sure enough, they did that today. Adam Pearce announces, so I'm over here and I'm actually like brushing the hair. I don't like you that much. But Adam Pearce tells Sonya Deville today that, you know, the officials have reviewed everything. And yeah, you're still a wrestler, full-time wrestler, but you're no longer management. So Sonya Deville, so distraught at that decision, she couldn't focus in the ring. And Alexa Bliss with Twisted Bliss beats her 1-2-3 in about a minute. And Sonya Deville, my God, I mean, just distraught that she is no longer in management. So I swear to God, I'm not kidding, Benjamin. I literally, while I was talking, I was actually like smoothing out the hair. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing over here? So nice to see Alexa Bliss back. You know, look, we saw her in skits not too long ago. We saw the wedding pictures. Not like we haven't seen her in a while. But she looked good in the ring. You know, for the minute that she was there, full-fledged baby face, no voodoo dumb shit. And again, I love the fact that they're still keeping Lily around because it sells merchandise. Easy for cartoon graphics on a shirt. You sell the doll, you sell figures, Christmas ornaments. We were joking yesterday that I can't believe WWE Shop has not even come up with the tattoos for Cody. AEW did, or Pro Wrestling Tees did, I should say. And they sold quite a few of them, you know, and yesterday I put one on. It was very easy to take off, by the way. The skin's a little sore, but I got it off pretty much in no time. So, by the way, shout out to everybody who is live tonight, everybody who is on the archive. Big shout out to you as well. Little plug for Beyond the Mat with two T's. That is a friend of the show. He is a longtime listener, has now ventured into his own podcast. So if you want to go check him out, he is on YouTube. And good guy. Be gentle. He's just starting. We all start somewhere. Look, I'm doing this 25 years, and I still have a boatload to learn. So good luck to you, Matt. All right. What else do we want to get into? All right. You know what? We're 15 minutes in, so we got to finish the recap in 15 more minutes. No problem. Couple other things that went down tonight. We got to see the Judgment Day, not just Judgment Day. Just Judgment Day is a pay-per-view. They put the word the before it. So they are the Judgment Day. They come out, Rhea Ripley, Edge, Damian Priest. And if you look closely, Edge, you know, something looks a little bit different to Edge. Did he get a haircut? Oh, yes, he did. And I think it looks pretty damn good. Let me see if I could zoom in on it. Let's see. There you go. All right. Let's see the sides. All right. Talk to me. Here we go. Here comes the sides. There we go. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Some people thinking that his haircut is just like Rhea Ripley's. Nah, not exactly. You know, Edge has had short hair before. But I like it. I like it. Now, I'm curious if Damian Priest is going to get a haircut eventually. I'm curious. I think Damian Priest actually would look good with a buzz cut. Not necessarily bald, but with very short hair, I think Damian Priest would actually be fine. So they come out. And Rhea Ripley, you know, cutting a promo, you know, first Edge really dogging the crowd, basically saying we're tired of being a sheep, being sheep. He says, I'm a Hall of Famer. Big deal. No one cared about my injuries. No one cared about my comeback. He calls the fans keyboard warriors with asinine comments. He says that fans hate when he says that because it's true. He says that the Judgment Day holds the mirror up to everyone and everyone out there doesn't like what they see, but the Judgment Day like what they see about themselves. And he calls everybody in Connecticut morons. No one could touch them. And he's getting some legitimate heat from the crowd. Damian Priest gets on the mic. And at first when he started talking, it was like a little bit off. You go back and watch his promo again. Towards the end of it, he's definitely watching Triple H videos. He's definitely doing the Triple H cadence. I can't imitate it. I'm not going to even try and be disrespectful. Go back and watch it. And towards the end of his promo, when he's talking about, you know, being a collective unit and telling everyone to rise and give respect to Rhea Ripley, if you go back and watch that again, I'm telling you, it's the Triple H cadence. And it was good. It was very good. Rhea Ripley... you know, a little bland at first, you know. Joining Judgment Day was the easiest decision of my life. She does the generic autograph eBay remark, which we've heard a lot of wrestlers cutting promos over the years. I'm sick and tired of signing autographs to the kids at the airports. And then the next day, I see those autographs on eBay. You know, why? Rhea, are you on eBay trying to buy your own shit? Joking, but she cuts the generic eBay autograph promo. She says that she's done with being used. She's getting a lot of what chance, but then we find out she's having a match with Liv Morgan tonight, and she's going to give Liv a reason to cry. But right before Liv's music interrupts this exchange, Edge made the remark that the movement is not done. And they are looking for more people to add. And the whole scenario that we talked about the night that Finn Balor lost his championship to Austin Theory, you know, I think that that is going to take time to develop. Because tonight, AJ Styles had a match with, Finn Balor had a match with Damian Priest. Now, sure, why is Finn Balor attacking Damian Priest if he's going to join them? Well, the story is right now, Finn Balor is still aligned with AJ Styles. AJ Styles came out with Finn Balor to be in his corner for saving him last week. Finn Balor takes on Damian Priest. Finn Balor wins by disqualification because Rhea Ripley, with a little distraction and Edge getting involved, and then AJ Styles tries to come to the aid. Finn Balor is laid out. And then we get a little stare down between AJ Styles and Rhea Ripley. AJ's not going to put his hands on a woman. And that obviously backfired because Edge proceeded to lay him out and then hit him with a spear. And while you're watching all of this, Finn Balor is writhing in pain in the corner. And the announcers, you know, the odds are against him. The numbers are against him. The numbers are against him. So if they go the route that we think they are, Finn Balor is probably going to be laid out a few more times. And Finn Balor is going to get sick of it. I think Finn Balor will join up with them. It just feels that's the way to go. It'll really invigorate. And plus, you mean to tell me you wouldn't want a extended feud with Finn Balor? Just think about that. Finn Balor and AJ Styles going at it. And Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins going at it. And we didn't even bring up SmackDown stuff. You know, so you got some pretty awesome matches right there to think about. So Liv Morgan taking on Rhea Ripley. We all knew that Liv had no shot in this one. The match was a little more competitive than I thought it would be. And Rhea eventually wins with her leg submission. And she immediately breaks the hold when Liv tapped out. And then Rhea Ripley looking to Edge for, you know, approval. And Edge nods his head, giving her the okay. And she proceeds to beat the crap out of Liv Morgan once again. And Liv Morgan writhing in pain. So, you know, some people think that we may eventually see a six-person intergender match, Rhea, Edge, Damian Priest versus Liv, Finn, and AJ. I wouldn't go that far, but it's possible. It is possible. Oh, by the way, speaking of six-person tag matches, a little bit later before we go, I have some Roman Reigns video that I'm going to share with you. He actually recorded it last night. It is all over the platforms. I did find out it's okay to share it here. And it addresses his WWE future. And right now you see people online with the guessing game. And what we talked about last night to close out the recap of Backlash seems like what we said is in the right direction, that he is not leaving anytime soon for Hollywood. But his schedule will be cutting back quite a bit. And the six-man tag matches might be coming to an end soon. I'll let you see and hear what he has to say and get it straight from his mouth. So, just to fill in the blanks from tonight's Raw, Randy Orton comes out. As we said earlier, he wants the Usos. He wants those belts. And they're going to show up on SmackDown Friday. And Riddle says that they're going to go to Roman Reigns. And if Roman Reigns refuses, since everybody's got to answer to Roman Reigns, if he says no, then that says that Roman Reigns has no confidence in the Usos. Street Profits interrupt. You don't need to worry about the Usos. You need to worry about us. We want the smoke. And Riddle says, you want the smoke? Well, RK-Bro 420 says, we just smoked your ass. Which was a good line. It was got a good prop from the crowd. So we get the match. Typical Raw match between these two teams. There was one small faux pas. I think some people got nervous. Riddle went for a moonsault to the outside and inadvertently hit Randy Orton. And then the Street Profits tried to capitalize. Montez Ford hit a frog splash, but Randy broke it up. So people were nervous, including me. I said, oh, is it possible that Street Profits get it tonight? But they didn't. Montez Ford attempts a second frog splash, and that's when Riddle hit the RKO. Spectacular, spectacular. RK-Bro retain. They will appear on SmackDown on Friday. And think about this, too. If you think about the logic of people saying about Fox not wanting the titles unified, you have Randy Orton and Riddle showing up on SmackDown. Two guys you wouldn't normally see there. The Usos sometimes show up on Raw. Two guys you normally don't see there either. So these networks are getting additional people appearing as a result. So again, what you read online a lot of times is guessing games. And most of the times, their guesses are wrong. So Theory, he's interviewed by Kevin Patrick early on. He's confident he's going to win tonight. He doesn't need to prepare for Cody. He doesn't give a damn about Cody. He mentions he was almost in diapers the last time Cody was in the company. Cody cuts a promo saying that he's done with Seth Rollins. And no, Seth Rollins is not done with you, son. Theory and Cody Rhodes had a great match tonight. But again, you knew that they're not taking the title off of Theory this soon. Cody, it makes no sense for him to get the United States title. Yes, I know, American Nightmare, red, white, and blue, everything United States, it makes sense, but not right now. Eye on the bigger prize. Seth Rollins comes out towards the end of the match after Cody hits the Cody Cutter, attacks Cody, and again hits the curb stomp on the announcer's table, and Seth Rollins trolling everybody on social media tonight. You can go check it out, see for yourself. We did get interesting segment. This is not Kevin Owens, everyone. This is Ken Owens. This is Kevin Owens' older brother.
Brother.
Basically, the deal with this, it's so stupid. Alpha Academy's with Kevin Owens in the back. Chad Gable reveals that he got some DNA from a cup that Ezekiel drank from. And he sent it out. Next week, he's going to have the DNA results. And I don't know if any of you have ever done Ancestry DNA or if you follow, like, the crime channels with genealogical DNA, I think it is. Even if the DNA comes back, if it, the worst-case scenario just reveals that Elias and Ezekiel are brothers. You know, it's ridiculous. I mean, I don't know where this is going next week. Obviously, it's stupid. But tonight, Kevin Owens says, oh, no, my older brother Ken is going to show up, and he's going to beat the crap out of Ezekiel and expose that he is truly Elias. So later on, as I showed you, we had a segment where Ken Owens confronts Ezekiel. And I got news for you. I don't have too many pictures tonight of Ezekiel, but if you look at the one I have on the screen right now and you look at the tassels and everything, you know, you have heard some people claim that Vince McMahon told Elias to shave the beard. You look too much like the Macho Man. Let me tell you two things to say to that. Number one, if that was true, why didn't he have him shave the beard years ago? And number two, if you actually look at Ezekiel's physique right now and the outfits, it looks like Randy Poffo. It looks like Randy Savage before he had the huge beard. His outfits look very similar. All he's got to do is put a couple of stars on his tights. But it ends up that Kevin Owens, he pulls the wig off. First, he asks the crowd, do you all truly believe that this is Elias' younger brother? And they say, yeah. And he's like, you're all stupid. Did you graduate high school? Ken Owens pulls the hair off. He says, I'm Kevin Owens. And he beats the crap out of Ezekiel. When Ezekiel starts getting the upper hand, Alpha Academy come out. They come out, leave him laying. So you know this is leading to a match with Kevin Owens versus Ezekiel. So earlier in the night, we had Adam Pearce in the back with Asuka, and Becky Lynch shows up. This segment, I think the cameras were behind, back there a little too long. Basically what they were trying to do is the main event tonight was going to be Asuka versus Bianca Belair in a championship contenders match. And Becky Lynch, she's only had one match back. Why is she getting the opportunity? You know, and then Becky Lynch is like, that doesn't even make sense. You're going to beat the champion in order to get an opportunity to beat the champion? Yeah, that's what championship contenders matches are. So then Asuka, you know, pregnant shaming Becky Lynch. You know, you were mommy. You give me belt. You were mommy. You don't act like mommy. You act like baby. Baby. And Becky Lynch storms off. Later on in the night, we get the main event. And it was only about 5 minutes. Not enough time. And if you look, I took one picture of Becky from tonight. I like the glasses. She kept them on while she was at the announcer's table, which I thought was hilarious. She's dressed in an outfit. I will not be surprised if we had Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair in a dark match after Raw went off the air. Because the match between Asuka and Becky Lynch was extremely fast. And it ended in a DQ. And based on the match, Bianca should actually be the winner because Becky is the one that dragged her out and threw her into the ring steps. Then she attacked Asuka and we went off the air. So Becky trying to hurt Asuka's chances. You know, if Asuka wins by DQ, she still won the match. So I think for the record books, Bianca should have won by DQ. But I wouldn't be surprised if Bianca and Becky, maybe even Asuka, were involved in a post-Raw dark match tonight. Maybe somebody could find out for me. Veer Mahan beating someone by the name of Frank Lohman. I got to get some info on this guy because this guy is jacked. I don't know why everybody was saying Wardlow for. I mean, I don't see it. I mean, I know the pasted hair and, you know, the singlet and everything, but there's a lot of guys that are dressed like that, you know. But he comes out, and Byron Saxton asks him about his match he's going to have with Veer Mahan. And he says, you know, he doesn't want to be carted out on a stretcher. He doesn't want to be decimated by Veer Mahan, but he has a wife and triplets who expect to provide for him, for them. So he's got to fight Veer Mahan. Veer Mahan destroys him, and Corey Graves with the line of the night that Mr. Lohman should use his kid's tuition to pay for the medical bills. I thought that was pretty funny. But, you know, look, Veer Mahan, we feared it the night that he came out, the night after WrestleMania. I had Lars vibes that night. And I was a supporter of Lars, but I'll even say his run fizzled out. You know, and I got the same vibes with Veer Mahan. Said it that night. Hasn't really changed all that much since. Sasha and Naomi beating Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. in very, very short time. And, you know, this confuses me because, you know, I thought Nikki was going to have a little bit of a character change after last week. They lost rather quickly. I don't know, you know, what, where it goes from here. But it seems like WWE has no confidence in Nikki A.S.H. right now. And it's a shame. I see people in the chat room saying the very same thing. Bobby Lashley, we got only two more segments, then we can move on. So I know we're at 33 minutes, but remember, I spent the first 5 minutes talking about other things. So Bobby Lashley, earlier in the night, we had the MVP lounge with Omos. And MVP is talking about that Bobby became almighty because of MVP, and he is talking about what Omos is and what he will be. Cedric Alexander comes out, and he's starting to chat, very proud of Omos and what he's doing. Then Lashley comes out, takes out security. Cedric a couple of times tries to beat up Bobby Lashley with no success. Kept diving into his arms. At one point, Lashley was able to clothesline Omos outside the ring, and we thought Lashley was going to get his hands on MVP, but Cedric once again with the save. And ultimately, later on, we find out that next week it's going to be Bobby Lashley versus Omos in a steel cage match. Be thankful that it's happening now, because a lot of people did not want to see that at Hell in a Cell. So if we get that next week, I'm fine with it. Now, before we get into the last thing, because I have a couple of pictures I want to share with you. They showed, I guess, a summary of Lacey Evans' promos. And they did it because of the story behind it, America, success story, public service announcement. That's why they showed it. You know, I know not a lot of people were into it tonight, but that's why they did. We had another goofy backstage segment, and be warned, this is going to be a variation of the 24/7 title. R-Truth is with Dana Brooke and Tamina, and the gist of it is they want divorces. They want to serve papers to Tozawa and Reggie that they want divorces. So I guess the women set up the guys. They thought they were going to go on a double date. Tozawa shows up with flowers, Reggie shows up with chocolate, and then R-Truth is able to serve Reggie with the divorce papers. So Reggie's been served. He's going to be divorced. Tozawa, he's not ready to be divorced. So he throws the flowers and he runs away. And Tamina's pissed off because Tamina's telling R-Truth, if you don't serve him with the papers, you can't file for divorce. Tozawa has to be served. So Tozawa leaves and R-Truth runs after him. There's your variation of the 24/7 title. Now we're going to see skits where R-Truth is going to keep trying to serve Tozawa with papers. And somehow every time, I'm just guessing, but I could see this a mile away and I think I'm going to be right on this. They're going to do skits where R-Truth is going to unsuccessfully over and over try to serve Tozawa with papers. Yes, James, divorce after 2 weeks. I know. Look, DNA results in 1 week. I don't think there's no like FedEx 3-day service. You know, you got the DNA tonight. FedEx picks up the DNA tomorrow, sends it to the lab. They get it on Wednesday. What are you going to do? They got to do the analysis, send it back to WWE by Friday or Monday at the latest for Raw. And I'm talking storyline. It's supposed to be stupid. Speaking of stupid, I don't know, man. I'm not jumping the gun when I say this, but I'm concerned for Mustafa Ali. I am, for real, and I'll tell you why. I don't know if you saw it over the weekend, and I don't remember who asked me earlier, did I see the video that Ali put online? I had not, but I saw it tonight. Ali, you know, he's trying to be a little creative on social media, and he's doing some skits. And he posted this over the weekend. Now, I think that's supposed to be Dennis Jones. I think when I took the screenshot, it wasn't playing all the way. But Ali is making fun of Theory. And Mustafa Ali playing a reporter. I'm not saying the skit was bad. The skit was funny. And he's playing off that he's interviewing people about Austin Theory. And everybody is ripping apart Theory. But you look at these characters that Ali is playing, all right? You know, Chet Reed is in the back looking to interview people. I guess it was like this was construction worker Hulk Hogan. This was like, I don't know, Undertaker Hillbilly. And then we had some old lady, and this is Mustafa in outfits, you know, talking about Theory. And it was fun. But when I watched that today that he did over the weekend, I said, where's the video about Ciampa that attacked your ass 2 weeks in a row? Yes, I know they had a match tonight. But if you go on Ali's social media, he is only talking about Theory. Miz is fucking with Ali also. And how this comes across to me as a viewer is that Ali is trying to push for the feud with Theory, and WWE is pushing a feud with Miz. And yes, they will ultimately intertwine. But why is Ali doing those segments and not making fun of Miz? Why wouldn't he be pissed that Ciampa beat him up 2 weeks in a row and doesn't even mention it on social media? This is a hot mess right now. And tonight we had a hot mess also. As Sasha Banks and Naomi are walking to the back after their match against Nikki Ash and Doudrop, Miz comes out in a referee shirt. Now, we know Ali was getting a segment tonight, so we figure, okay, Miz, this is going to lead to a match. So Miz is the special guest referee, and it's going to be a match between Mustafa Ali and Ciampa. And the announcers even said, Ciampa hasn't explained why he did what he did. Ali obviously doesn't give a shit in storyline why Ciampa did what he did. And what Miz did, as a typical heel referee does, is every time Ali goes for the pin, either Miz is not paying attention or he's taking his time. 1, 2. But when Ciampa goes for the pin at the very end, 1, 2, 3. Just like that. 1, 2, 3. And Ali loses for the second week in a row. This is leading to a feud further with Miz and Ali. But again, storyline, it makes no sense that Ali is only focused on Theory, but is not bothered by what Ciampa did the last 2 weeks and is not bothered by what Miz is doing. I don't know. Couple of things I really liked tonight. Couple of things I did not at all. But that was your episode of Raw tonight. I think we did good, you know, summarizing it. Yeah, we'll get into some questions momentarily. I got a couple other tidbits to give you, some very important stuff, obviously. First, let's get into ratings really quick. SmackDown this past Friday did 1,998,000, about a 2% increase, which is the same as last week. Rampage only did 292. That was the 5:30 p.m. time slot, so that's not surprising. Impact Wrestling, 108,000, no change there. Dynamite on May 4th. You know what? I got to pause that. Not only was it 8:33, but the quarter-hour breakdowns have come out since then, and Mercedes Martinez and Deonna Purrazzo was only about 730,000 viewers. And it's the pattern that we expected. Samoa Joe, when he wrestled for the Ring of Honor Championship as well, I think that only did like in the mid-sevens as well. And you see even on Rampage when they're closing out with Jay Lethal versus I Gotta Take a Shitta, you know, those quarter hours were awful. It's just going down. And the worst part about it is when Sammy Guevara took on Scorpio Sky, that main event, I think like 2 weeks ago, that final quarter hour was in the mid-sevens also. And that is baffling. That is baffling for a show that some quarter hours were approaching nines, and yet still, and don't blame it on basketball, please. Yeah, that's ridiculous, and we've proved that 1,000 times over. So bottom line is your hardcore fans choose to watch something else than your product, because when basketball does fucked up ratings and wrestling does also, you don't see, you know, the NBA network or ESPN say, well, you know, SmackDown was on tonight. You know, they don't blame wrestling. Wrestling should not blame basketball. All right. So did I just reset it? Yeah, I just reset it. So, well, NXT, we already talked about last week, so you already know the other numbers. I'll keep them on the bottom ticker anyway. What else? Oh, happy anniversary, Dave Batista. We can take the ratings off. 20 years today. 20 years today, guys and gals. Deacon Batista in the corner of Brother Devon. He made his debut 20 years ago today. Now, I have on the screen right now a little highlight resume of Batista's WWE career. And please, do not get mad at what I'm about to say. But maybe because at that time, I mean, I don't recall championship wrestlers having very long championship reigns at that time. But I look at this, and I'm not as impressed. Let me rephrase it like this. I honestly thought Batista held more gold than this. He is a 4-time World Heavyweight Champion, a 3-time Tag Team Champion, 2-time WrestleMania main eventer, 1-time WWE Tag Team Champion, 2-time Rumble winner, and a 2-time WWE Champion. I mean, it's still impressive, but I honestly thought that he had many more title wins than that. But still, nonetheless, Batista has had an awesome career, and as we have talked about already this year, expect Batista to go into the WWE Hall of Fame next year when they are in Hollywood. Absolutely, you do that. You don't even think twice about it. But happy 20-year anniversary to Batista. All right. Very quickly, and I'm only going to spend about 3 minutes on this, maybe 5 at the most. I want to share with you a couple of important updates regarding Tammy Sitch's situation. I appreciate everybody who enjoyed, not enjoyed that you that it was happy and, you know, entertaining, but enjoyed what I talked about on Saturday. I got into a lot of information that no one else has talked about, still hasn't talked about. I think I was very fair and honest. And, you know, it's weird because I remember saying on Saturday that she is dangerous, that she should not be out of jail right now. And have talked about her being a total mess, and it's tragic, and it's, you know, it's sad, it's disappointing. That's not caring or defending her. And there's still this weird group of people out there that think, I mean, unless I slash her throat, they think I'm defending her. Let me tell you something. I got death threats over the weekend. I got threats of having people show up at my house to beat the fuck out of me. And I swear on Jesus Christ, I will never do another show ever again. And if push comes to shove, if somebody does show up, then obviously I will be forced to show you what I got. Some of the people that threaten me have a very bad criminal background. So if I'm defending and sticking up for her, I am doing a horrible job of it. But a couple of things I want to tell you tonight. First off, I did find out for sure that Tammy bought the Mercedes. If you remember Saturday, I said that I wasn't sure. I didn't have the bill of sale in my hands, but we talked about how she bought it on February 15th, and it could have been a Valentine's Day gift to her boyfriend, but the insurance, the registration was absolutely in his name. But she did own the car. Now, I'm going to show you a document on a computer screen right now that is very disturbing. It's not graphic where you got to close your eyes. There's, you know, it's just typewriter. But this is a document that the court filed. And the reason why I'm showing it to you is because it is public knowledge. You can obtain this online. All these websites saying exclusive PW Insider breaking news, we obtain this. No, you went on the same fucking website that I did today. And anybody can as well. Right now, Florida is trying to get the bail revoked, the bond revoked. Now, if you remember the episode I did with Mish the last time he was on here, we were talking about the situation. I said, unfortunately, Florida's got to go through a process and you can't take shortcuts. Same thing with the bond. The court awarded the bond of what, $275 or whatever it was, and she got out. The district attorney is now requesting the court to reconsider that and instead give her a pretrial detention, which means she could be under house arrest, she could be kept in a prison. It gets really, really dangerous in some cases because there have been proven cases where someone is accused of a crime, kept in jail, and it ends up they were innocent, but because of what happened in jail, they had permanent, you know, emotional injuries, committed suicide, got the shit knocked out of them in jail. I mean, I'm not talking about DUI arrest, but I'm saying pretrial detention. Understand something. I'm going to be very quick with this. In United States, you are innocent until proven guilty. Yeah, I know. In this case, we know what the outcome is. But still, in the court of law, you are innocent until proven guilty. So the reason for bond and bail is because until you are found guilty in a court of law, you're presumed innocent. So bail and bond is basically an offset of that, that you promise to appear, but you are not held, you know, but there has to be reasonable cause to incarcerate, detain someone, even though they have not been officially found guilty. That is what pretrial detention is. So I'm going to show you a couple of court documents that show you why Florida is now asking the judge about this. And it's pretty fucked up. Some of this, I didn't even know. Then after that, I'm going to show you about 2 minutes of video. A minute of it is video that everybody's posting tonight. It is footage of her being arrested Friday from her hotel room. Yes, she was living in a hotel. There are hotels in Florida where you go month to month. So I have footage of that. But I also have footage from late 2021 where cops showed up at the hotel and she had Xanax and something else, and you see the cops telling her, you got to stop this shit, you know, something bad's going to happen. And it's pretty eerie to see that and then see what went down. But like I said, we're only going to spend a couple of minutes on this. But if you look, for those on video, if you look at your screen, and again, I'm not showing you anything that's not public information, so we won't get in trouble with this. But this is the court, and I'm going to read a couple of things from this for my audio friends at home. And this is briefly the explanation as to why the district attorney is asking the court to revoke the bond and keep her in detention instead. And it says that the defendant was arrested on May 6th for the charges of DUI manslaughter, driving while her license was canceled, suspended, or revoked, causing death, and 7 counts of DUI with person or property damage. Conditions would support finding the court that the defendant poses a threat of harm to the community, including but not limited to the following. The defendant has been previously convicted of a crime under Florida state law. The defendant was driving with a suspended driver's license when the charged crime was committed. And we go a little bit further. Now, it says, under Florida statute 907.041, the state argues that there is substantial probability that the defendant committed the crime. Remember, innocent until proven guilty, but this is reasonable cause. They feel that there's substantial probability that she committed this crime. No shit, but this is how the courts work. This is you cannot take shortcuts. And they bring up examples. On May 30th, 2015 in Pennsylvania, she was arrested on the charge of driving under the influence, driving while operating a license that was suspended or revoked, or careless driving. Her blood alcohol content was 0.253. Oh, and I should have told everyone, in a little bit, I'm going to tell you how many drinks she would have had to have when she hit a 0.28 when she got arrested for the accident, you know, on March 25th. Wait till I get to that. On October 3rd, 2016, the defendant violated the probation she was sentenced to, and she was sentenced to probation because she pled guilty to 1 count of DUI. Remaining charges were dismissed. On February 3rd, 2017, her probation was revoked, and she was resentenced to prison. On June 1st, 2015, she was arrested for driving under the influence, driving while a suspended license, driving on roadways laned for traffic, reckless driving, not driving at a safe speed. She pled guilty. Her blood alcohol content was 0.300. All right? I'm not going to beat around the bush. Some of these blood alcohol contents, she should be dead. And I'm just saying it bluntly. Not saying it in favor or against her. It's just science. October 3rd, 2016, she violated probation. On February 3rd, 2017, her probation was revoked. And it keeps going down. The bottom line is, I'll read you the last couple of sentences. January 12th, 2017, in Pennsylvania, she pled guilty to driving without a license. And as of May 9th, 2022, the defendant has never had a valid driver's license in the state of Florida, and she had a suspended license out of the state of Pennsylvania. That's interesting because on the police report, she had a Jersey license, and I checked it, and the license number was valid. So interesting that there was no mention of the Jersey license. But the state asks the court to hold the defendant no bond pursuant to Florida statute. The state submits that there is a substantial probability that the defendant committed DUI manslaughter when she killed the victim on March 25th, 2022. The state also submits that the defendant poses a threat of harm to the community based on her criminal history surrounding driving offenses as detailed above. So you see there's a couple of typos. They called her his, you know, instead of her, but that's the gist of it. So the court is afraid that she's going to kill someone else. The court is afraid that she could harm herself. They want to revoke the bond. So now the court has to decide. She can end up with house arrest with a monitoring device. The problem is she keeps getting behind the wheel. It doesn't matter if it was his car, a rental car, a friend's car. There's nothing that shows that she will not stop getting behind the wheel. Now, here's where shit gets scary. And trust me, I'm not clickbaiting right now. I'm just giving you facts. She was 3.5 times the legal limit when she had that car accident on March 25th. 3.5 times over. She hit a .28. Now, before I tell you what you have to do to get to a .28, I want to show you a little bit of video. Pay attention to when she tells the cops that when she drinks, she blacks out.
Yeah. First is that she thinks her boyfriend has drugs. This thing right here, I have no idea what it looks like. She states that it is drugs. If not,
he always has like a loose Xanax in his pants, and I can't sleep.
Why are you going through his pants?
To look for a Xanax to take to go to sleep.
Are you prescribed Xanax?
Am I? Yeah. Yes, but at home.
So why are you taking his Xanax?
Because I was drinking, I relapsed, and I'm feeling like shaky, and I just wanted to take something to go to sleep. But I'm missing his pants. I don't know what it is.
He looks the only way I would know is I could test it, but that's I can't charge him with it because he found it. There's no possession charge there. But you need to get off the alcohol and stop hanging out with him and stop taking other people's Xanax because it's putting you in this position. Right?
Yeah.
Bad choices. You remember us? We were out here. I don't remember. Okay.
When I drink,
I black out. I don't remember anything.
We ended up in the hospital last time.
Yeah. We're the same ones that came out and put you in the hospital last time. So you got to get off this stuff because whoever that is bad news. Especially if he's bringing this stuff in your room.
I don't know. Like that's why I found it. I don't even know what it is.
Real quick, what's your last name?
Sitch. S-Y-T-C-H.
What's your first name?
Samuel.
Okay, what's your middle name?
Lynn.
And what's your date of birth?
12-7-72.
You okay? Yes, I have water.
Pretty dry.
Okay. I have water in my back.
All right.
Here you go.
Sad, man, sad. But, you know, let's be honest, did it to herself.
Because we have to give it to you.
That's pretty much the gist of it. The rest of it is just them strapping her seatbelts in and everything. Check this out, all right? Now, I don't know how much she weighs. On all the documents that I have read, they estimate her weight to be about 180. It's not as heavy as you think it is, but it says 180. So let's go with that number, okay? She scored a .28. Most people begin to start feeling relaxed, a little sociable, a little extra talking, you're mingling, when you are .04. 0.04 would be 7 times less than what she was at. So when you get a little relaxed at the club and you feel good and you're not intoxicated, but that's usually when people start feeling it, 0.04. You are somewhat impaired at 0.05, which is almost 6 times less than what she was. Between 0.25 and 0.30, drinkers have a near total loss of motor functions, little response to stimuli, and may lose consciousness or unable to stand or walk. Her blood alcohol was 0.28, right in the middle of that number. So when she tells the cops that she blacks out when she drinks, she probably blacked out when this happened. I'm just telling you what I found. Now, check this out. 120-pound woman. For a 120-pound woman to hit a .28, which is what she was, that woman would have to drink 7 drinks in an hour. Now, obviously, if you drink faster, you'll hit the number quicker. But a 120-pound woman to hit .28, you would have to have 7 drinks. If you are 160 pounds, to hit a blood alcohol content of 0.28, 160-pound woman would have to have 11 drinks in an hour. How much alcohol even if I was on a deserted island, like one of these bad cartoons where my tongue sticks out and it's a mile long, I need water, water. And I'm so delirious that everything I look at looks like water. You ever see those bad cartoons? And then I find a barrel and it's filled with vodka. I don't even think I can drink 11 drinks. If a drink, 11 shots, how do you drink? And that's 11 drinks for a 160-pound person. If it's true, she's a 180. She would have had to have drank 13 to 14 drinks in an hour. What is that? That's crazy. That's freaking crazy. I mean, I know people drink for different reasons, to numb physical pain, emotional pain, to forget about the problems of the world, whatever it is. But how do you drink that much? I don't get it. That's insane. But here's the worst part of it all. Here's the worst part of it all. You hit 0.35, the 0.40, you could die. So she was not far off from 0.35. She was 0.28. 2-3 more drinks, she could have dropped dead because of it. And that's what I think the court is talking about also. It's not just her getting behind the wheel and killing someone else, but you know, you drink that much, there's no way that you could. And I don't know how the hell she goes to jail and doesn't deal with withdrawal when you drink that much. That's crazy. That's insane. When I started doing the research, because I was curious, I'm like, somebody, her weight, how much you got to drink to hit a 0.28? Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So those are your updates. I wanted to tell you about the detention that they want to do. I wanted to update you that she actually owned the vehicle. I want to make that clear, not the boyfriend. Oh, and one other thing. We commented about this at the very end of Saturday's show. The bruises. The bruises. Okay? We were wondering, where did these come from? Some of you thought it was from the car accident on March 25th. Let me remind you that when Bianca Belair had her WrestleMania match and her eye was swollen closed with crazy bruising, it was back to normal in 2 weeks. So I'm not trying to compare wrestling, but a black guy is a black guy is a black guy. If she had a broken orbital bone or something like that, Tammy, it would have been different. So where did these bruises come from? Well, from two people that are friends with her, that I trust, and everything that they have told me over the last couple of years has been true. They were told that she got into a fight with someone and she fell. She told people that she fell. I'm not going to speculate who she got into a fight with. I'm not going to immediately say that there was a boyfriend or anything. No, don't even do that. We have no idea. But for those that were curious about the bruises, the claim is she got into a fight and she fell. And that's where this is. So, okay. So we move on. All right. Before we go, if you're interested on Friday, we got Roman Reigns to close out for tonight. If you're interested, on Friday, there's another table for three. I love the cut and pasters out there, everybody. I had a good laugh today. On Friday, you're going to see R-Truth, Carmella, and Dana Brooke eating. Now, I don't know if there's going to be any attempts for a 24-7 title change. That would be pretty funny if that happens during the dinner. But they're doing a table for three. And whoever originally reported it did a boo-boo with the typing. They typed that R-Truth, Carmella, and R-Truth will be doing a table for three. They didn't mention Dana Brooke's name. I found 7 websites that all wrote that the table for three is going to feature R-Truth, Carmella, and R-Truth. They don't even check the stuff that they're copying from other sites. That is hilarious. And go look around. You'll see some of them are still there. All right. So before we go, We're at an hour and 6 minutes. So we will finish at 90 minutes exactly, which is still 24 minutes away. Let me spend about 5 minutes on Roman Reigns, and then I will answer any of your questions, and we will call it a night. I think we are having a fun show. If you are enjoying the show, I would appreciate it if you take a moment and hit that thumbs up. I see that some of you have, and I thank you very much for it. I would love to see everybody do it now. That would be awesome. Couple other things. NXT. On Tuesday, they're going to start the women's breakout tournament. We're also going to have Natty, and she is wrapping up a little bit of her NXT work, I believe, by this week or next week. She's going to take on Cora Jade. Wendy Chu and Roxanne Perez are taking on Toxic Attraction. I believe it's a non-title match. Alba Fire, the former Kaylee Ray, she will be in action as well, and then the beginnings of the women's breakout tournament. Now, for AEW, I give AEW props because they've been doing this the last couple of weeks, and it's so much easier to put it on the screen. This is their preview for Wednesday. We have Ricky Starks defending the FTW championship against Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy is already a champion, so I don't know why he would be fighting for that championship, but okay, whatever. The Owen Hart Memorial Tournament kicks off. Darby Allin will be taking on Jeff Hardy. Tony Storm will be taking on Jamie Hayter. Adam Cole will be taking on Dax Harwood. The Jericho Appreciation Society will be having a victory speech, which you know will be interrupted. CM Punk will be taking on John Silver. And the contract signing with Wardlow and MJF. And I got to be honest with you. With them coming to Long Island, you know, you would think that they would manage the storyline with Wardlow and MJF a little better. Why would you put MJF in his hometown this month, which you know he's going to be a babyface, especially when you're in the midst of teasing a contract signing? You don't want Wardlow booed out of the building for any reason at all. Avoid interaction with MJF and Wardlow when they come to New York. That's crazy. Unless MJF turns on the fans in Long Island. And I don't expect that. And even if they did, I think Long Island is smarter. And they're going to be like, oh, sure. You sure you feel that way? And they're going to cheer him anyway. I don't know. That's just my honest opinion. Maybe Tony Khan, for once, will answer our questions. And maybe he'll blame it on a 30-year veteran saying that it was his idea. Hey, Tony, I live 10 minutes away from where this is going to happen. Everybody loves MJF here. Why are you going to put it in a situation where people are going to boo Wardlow? It's fucking stupid. Even if it's only 1 week, it's dumb. Dumb, stupid, moronic, dopey. All right. Roman Reigns. You know, we closed out last night's Backlash review, addressing Roman Reigns' comments at the house show, you know, teasing that things are going to be a little bit different. I know Dave Meltzer, you know, somehow between 11 o'clock Sunday night and 9 o'clock Monday morning, he suddenly found out that Roman Reigns signed a brand new contract with a lot less dates. That's pretty impressive. And you know I love Dave, and I support him, and I still subscribe to the newsletter. But even I will say, you know, what do you do? Call somebody 3 in the morning? You know, and somebody close to Roman Reigns. You think Roman Reigns is telling everybody in the back, all the wrestlers, yeah, I signed a new deal, limited dates. Yeah. Drew, I don't, Gulak. So anyway, last night, a couple of hours after WrestleMania Backlash ended, Roman Reigns recorded a 3-minute video addressing the match that went down last night and addressing his future. And again, this is everywhere. You probably have seen it already. I do have permission to show you.
I know. Trust me, I already know. You sitting there thinking like, hold up. Wasn't he just in the main event a few hours ago? And he's already back in the gym? I mean, what you expect, huh? This God mode. This God tier. This what the best of the best do. Right now, Tom Brady's throwing the ball. Michael Jordan's probably still on the court shooting the ball. It's what the best of the best do. Hey, let's put it this way. You can't just go out and pick greatness off the tree. You understand? And you're probably thinking, my God, that match, that six-man main event tag match, good God. It was just filled with future Hall of Famers, just filled with future Hall of Famers. Well, hold up. We have Riddle in there, too, but you know what I'm saying? He's going to learn. He's going to learn. But what do you think was going to happen? Let me tell you this, all right? When it comes to the bloodline, when it counts, you can count on us. I don't care who's in there. You can put Randy Orton with anybody. You can put Drew McIntyre with anybody. Put John Cena in there. Throw The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, The Rock, anybody in the bloodline is going to smash them every single time. That's already. But what's in my brain right now, it's got me, got your tribal chief in here right now. What if that's the last six-man tag you ever see the bloodline do? I mean, I believe when it comes to TV and it being broadcast for the entire world to see, that's only the second one.
We talked about that Saturday.
And, yeah, y'all are freaking out right now. Don't worry. The tribal chief loves you. I'm not going anywhere. Unless I am, who knows? Anyways, but, man, what if that's the last one? Because, I mean, look at it. There's so much riding on us. We have all the titles. We're the very best at what we do. I'm the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. I'm the greatest of all time. The Usos, the longest reigning tag team champions in the history of the WWE, the greatest of their generation, of the entirety of the business. It goes without being said that everything supports it. But what if that's the last time you see us do what nobody can do? That's the island of relevancy right there. People, it's not a gimmick. This isn't just something we're putting on shirts and selling. No, this is as real as it gets, because anybody that sits at the table, anybody that tries to step up, anybody that's, you know, near us, they automatically become better. You've been seeing this. The proof is in. Whether you like it or not, you love it. And we already know you respect it because you acknowledge it everywhere we go. But think about that. If that's the last one, we already know you're going to miss us. Because we're the greatest to ever do it. And it's because we're the bloodline. And we're the ones. Yes, sir.
Okay, so take that however you want it, but we talked about it on Saturday. Only two times they were on TV. Remember, I think the one time was Drew and the Viking Raiders. We had that convo last week. The house show circus, they've been tearing it up, but it, you know, that storyline will be coming to an end sooner or later. And, you know, if he signed a new deal, and it's less dates, so be it. You know, I mean, this other people have to step up. Look, and I've brought this up many times before. You go back 3 years. If you would have told us 3 years ago, even 2 years, the beginning of COVID, before the tribal chief, before you aligned with Paul Heyman, if you would have told us that we would have this Roman Reigns now, in the zone, smooth as silk, everything is clicking on all cylinders, you know, we would have said you're crazy. I mean, Roman Reigns, I despised watching him on TV for years because it was force-fed. Remember the suffering succotash stuff, you know? I mean, it's just amazing. But it's also kind of amazing that WWE creative at some point thought that he should be comedy like The Rock with those promos, And then the same creative, a couple of years later, goes God mode with this. You know, of course it's trial and error. I mean, look, let's also be honest. When he was doing all that goofy stuff, if the crowd would have popped, you know, because remember, what was that chant that they did with Seth Rollins back then? Snaggle something? Someone will remember. Someone will definitely post it in the chat. There's like a 5-second delay. Was it Snaggle Crotch or something like that? Sparkle Crotch. Was that it? Sparkle Crotch? I mean, crowd chanted that night, Sparkle Crotch. But that doesn't necessarily mean you go with that, you know, on a continuous basis. So, you know, this is awesome to see a character develop the way it has. I ask you, and I've asked this before, would Roman Reigns have ended up as the tribal chief, the character he is now, if COVID never hit? Think about that, because that cage match with him and was it Jimmy Uso, when they had the microphone and you heard every little thing and it was dramatic, and not having the crowd there to give him what chance and not give it a chance and putting it down, you know, that COVID era helped this tremendously, because you didn't have to worry about the crowd being indifferent, the crowd wadding it out of the building, the crowd crapping all over it. That is hard to say. You know, I ask everybody that question still to this day. If COVID never, I mean, let's look, COVID is still here. It's going to be here for a couple of years. We've already talked about that. We're not going to talk about COVID tonight. But as a wrestling fan, if you really want to look back during COVID and try to find some really good things that came out of it, this is probably the number one on the list. Because I honestly don't know if the character would have progressed to this point, because I don't think it would have ever been able to kick off the ground, because he had that 4 years. I mean, coming back from leukemia obviously was powerful. And that's sympathetic. And you absolutely love the man for fighting, you know, but still at the end of the day, you want to be entertained. You don't want him shitting it up on TV. And then you want someone to say to you, yeah, but he beat leukemia. You know what I mean? Like, no disrespect, Roman, but I want to be fucking entertained. I don't care what you got. Entertain me, bitch. You know, that's being blunt about it. So, all right. We got 10 minutes left. So if you have a quick question in the chat room, just put in capital letters the word question before it so it stands out and I can see it quicker. If it's a quick question, then I can answer it quicker. And, you know, obviously Super Chats always go to the top of the list, but they're not necessary. They're appreciated, but they're not necessary. Please don't ever feel like you got to do that. That's why I want to always have, you know, some time. And don't forget, Thursday we got the Q&A. So that's going to be coming. Tomorrow I'm going to be on Patreon. It's going to be live back on Tuesdays, 10:05 p.m. Wednesday Night Dynamite is not returning till next week. I will tell you right now. There is a slight chance I'm going to go Wednesday, you know, to wrestling. So if I do end up going, you know, Wednesday is off of me. But next Wednesday Night Dynamite will be returning. Patreon is definitely on tomorrow right after NXT. And who knows? I'm not making any promises, but we might have an appearance by someone. That's all I'm going to say. So, where I get the stoplights, and somebody made them for me. Somebody made them for me. There are a couple of people on eBay that make them very, very similar. There is a switch that you could buy, and it's a switch that it's like a timer, and you can have it trigger different lights. And they basically, I guess, with a 3D printer, make a traffic light out of it, put the lights, and then they sync it up. So, FSU Polo, who should replace Reigns as champion? I've said this for a month now. Cody and Roman. Cody and Drew. And it should happen the same night. Somebody has got, listen, Roman losing is obviously going to be a big deal. But if somebody causes Roman to lose and he loses it all, that's going to make whoever causes that, whether it's Brock or Rock or something, it's going to make it even more important. So, Michael Gonzalez, how much more does the Dynamite ratings have to drop for AEW to hit the panic button? I wouldn't be concerned. You know, AEW, you know, it's funny. Eric Bischoff just came out with a comment that Jonathan Coachman liked, and it was brought to my attention today. And if you go out and you look at it, what Eric Bischoff says is exactly what we've been saying on these shows. You realize there's about 100,000 hardcore fans. Then you got fans that watch both products. And then you got some casual fans that'll watch wrestling a couple of times a month. And AEW needs to stop catering for that 10% that's on social media, that is loud, that just... And Coach says something powerful. He says that the loudest voices on social media are the ones that are usually not heard. That is spectacular. It's not a popular comment that he said, because most of the people that he's referencing, you think they're going to like what he had to say? No. I don't think AEW should raise the panic button, but I will say this, it's going to be really interesting when they get that one-year anniversary of CM Punk signed, because now when you compare ratings from a year ago, now you're comparing the ratings based on the wrestlers that are here now. And there's only so many surprises. There's only so many, you know, I personally think that 900,000 to a million is going to be pretty much their ceiling for an extended period of time. All they got to do is, you know, just continue doing what they're doing, but they have to improve things. And Tony Khan, I think the number one thing he's got to do is whatever his fantasies were about Ring of Honor, whatever his fantasies were about certain Japanese wrestlers, whatever, like I said Saturday, have them wrestle in your apartment. That doesn't necessarily mean that I want to see Jay Lethal versus Yokosuka. I got to take a shitta. Nothing against the guy. The guy's talented. But why would I want to watch it? You know, like New Japan gets 40,000 viewers on Access. Why? Because American wrestlers, wrestling fans are really not interested in Japanese wrestling. It's going to take time. It's going to take time. When FMW was going to feud with ECW back in the day, and I was extremely excited and talking about it when I first started doing my wrestling hotline, most people were not interested. Like, I don't give a shit. Onita, yes, he's a legend now, but no, I don't think there is a panic button to worry about. You hit the panic button when the buildings are half full. You hit the panic button when ticket sales are awful. You know, right now, a lot of scalpers buy tickets also. AEW got their money. So even if the scalpers represented one quarter of the building and they all got stuck with tickets, and then the pay-per-view happens, and you're like, oh, look, the building's only three quarters full. Well, guess what? AEW got 100% of their money. So when ticket sales go down and when attendance substantially goes down, that's when you worry. Right now, I don't see any issues, you know, with AEW as far as, you know, I think they'll be okay. Yeah, once we have the roster for the Fight Forever game, I will share it with everyone. The Backlash Predictions Contest winners will be announced tomorrow and Thursday. The winner of the Undertaker photos from Friday, I believe Mikey won those. I will definitely post something in the community section tomorrow. And tomorrow night, we have the NXT Watch Party. And we are going to give away something pretty cool. I'm not going to reveal it yet. You'll see tomorrow on my Twitter what it is. So even if you're not a big fan of NXT, you'll probably want to stop by the watch party and give it a shot. So, all right. We're going to wrap this up in about 3 minutes. No predictions on the draft right now. That's not until September. You know, Charlotte Flair, you know, they did the storyline yesterday about the broken arm. What came out today is that she's supposed to get married later on this year, and they want to give her some time off, similar to Alexa Bliss. You know, even if you dislike Charlotte Flair, you cannot deny that she is top two or three in women's wrestling. And she triggers a reaction. She backs it up in the ring, not only with her work, but her mic skills. And she has been one of the MVPs of the women's division for WWE, whether you like it or not. She definitely deserves some time off. I know some people are a little concerned that it might be Ronda Rousey versus Lacey Evans. I don't know where people are getting that from. It could very well happen, but I'm a little hesitant to say that. But Charlotte may show up on Friday, and Ronda may end up having to put her in the arm lock even further, even with the broken arm. But the thing is, I don't know if they're going to do something where they're actually going to put her in a cast. So who knows? But either Charlotte Flair shows up Friday and is injured even further, and then she's off TV, or she will just stay off TV. So I don't know if I want to see Ronda versus Bayley. Ronda's not 100% ready to, you know, really be in a wrestling match. You know, Hell in a Cell could be Hell in a Cell, but it's not going to be with Charlotte Flair, obviously. Unless they try to do some unsanctioned crap, which they're not doing. So, okay. I think we're just about done. Shotzi Blackheart was on TV last week. Beat the Clock Challenge. She's been having the back problems. They're going to slowly get her back on TV. I am concerned that they might release her. No question. She's got to get some momentum. You know, it's a shame. Her and Ember Moon were a great team. I don't know why that needed to be split up. I really don't know. It was a fun gimmick, and they just split them up, and now Ember is gone, obviously. So, you know, somebody posts, you know, has an I Love Saxton guy. They just want to be noticed, you know. I don't get bothered by stuff like that, so. Yeah, coronavirus is still here. You know, you got to be careful. You know, I've been very lucky. I have not caught it at all. I have decided to go for the second booster. Even though my antibodies are still high, I'm going to go for the second booster because I am going to get married later this year. And I do not want to take a chance of being, you know, any exposure. I want to have so many antibodies in me that if it dares even come close, you know, it's just going to attack the shit out of it. So, and it may still not help. So, because I got some other issue that I haven't revealed the results to everyone yet. I'm not ready to talk about it. So, if I can make my own wrestling promotion, what would I name my wrestling company? Are you going to want me to tell you at 12:30 in the morning? Don Tony, you know, DT something. I don't know what I would name it, but I will say this. Whatever the letters are, it would be three letters, and they would have to sound great. It would have to sound great. That if fans chanted it, it sounds awesome. You know, you usually end it with a W. That seems to be ECW, AEW. There's a lot of feds. Even TNA was a fun chant, but it's got to be three letters that actually kind of flow. So, super chat from official Thump. Did you see the, I know it may not have anything to do with it, but Foco has Junkyard Dog bobbleheads on presale. They're pretty cool. If Dexter Lumis and Dakota Kai didn't get released, do I think they're main roster material? All right. What I'm going to say is going to upset some people. Dexter Lumis absolutely would be great on the main roster. It's been so character-driven in NXT that goofiness would have to work on the main roster. I think it would be easier on the main roster. In my opinion, Dakota Kai, as much as I love her work, I think she's one of the best. In fact, now with her going on the indies, she might be one of the top two, three prospects in women's wrestling on the indie circuit. I don't see how she would have leapfrogged about six or seven women on the main roster. I think also because of her size, that hurts her a little bit. I'm not saying that she's that much smaller than others, but I just don't see where she leapfrogs. That's why I'm worried about Aaliyah. That's why I'm worried about Xia Li. That's why I'm worried about Shotzi Blackheart. How do they break through? I don't know. That's why, as a tag team, maybe. But if Dakota Kai, if there was any chance of her making it as a main roster wrestler, it would have to be in a tag team. Yeah, I don't think. They would have to get seriously. She would have to have a character. And I don't think they want to do like crazy or maniac. That's why Nikki doesn't do that anymore. They don't want anything that kind of like has to do with mental health. You know, they try to stay away from stuff like that. So the Danhausen Hook stuff, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. I think it's fun. I mean, it kind of gives me a little Booker T. Goldust vibes. I know some people are saying Rock and Sock Connection, which is just asinine and stupid. This is, to me, this is just, like Goldust was so, I don't want to say innocent, because the Goldust character was controversial, but Goldust was just wanted Booker T to be his friend. You know, the innocence of it. I don't know. It gives me, look, to me, Booker T. Goldust is 1,000 times better than Danhausen and Hook. You know, because remember, Hook is still new in the ring, and we're watching pro wrestling. We're not watching One Life to Live. So even if they do form an alliance, you know, Danhausen is a decent wrestler, but his repertoire is not meant to have spectacular matches. Hook is still new. Hook has only had a couple of matches. So you put him as a tag team, who's the ring general? Who are they going to face? Do you want to see them feud with Aaron Solo and who that? You know, who they get a face. So you got to be a little careful with that. This storyline might have happened a little too soon, in my opinion. So what? Danhausen's a nerd. So what? You know? All right. 2 more minutes. We're on overtime. I don't want to overload the channel anymore, because I know a lot of you get frustrated that there's not enough hours in a day to tune into all the stuff. So if we keep it like an hour to hour and a half, you know, that's wonderful, because you know what's amazing about it? I looked at my stats over here, and again, 90% of my audience is on the audio side only. They're not even on YouTube. They'll sign up as a subscriber, but they'll only come to video if they really need to look at something, like tonight with the documents. But when you see all green and you see arrows or pointing upwards, and I'm like, oh, wow, I'm not even doing Wednesday Night Dynamite right now. So there's like 8 hours a month less, if you think about it, than I was doing before, and the numbers are still higher. So I think because there's a little less in the hour department, people are able to digest more of it, which is cool. So I don't want anybody to be on overload, so... Dakota Kai's main roster spot was canceled because they just couldn't figure out the best way to use her. You know, they don't want, they look, the amount of money that they were going to pay her, they don't want her to be enhancement talent. So, you know, that's pretty much how I looked at it. Kevin is asking Mercedes Martinez. WWE dropped the ball with her. They did a little bit. You know, the problem is Mercedes Martinez is now, you know, at the tail end of her career. She's going to be an awesome trainer down the line. Mercedes Martinez is not meant for NXT. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be nasty about it, but, you know, like I said, for over 2 years, I was saying that it needs to be developmental. Developmental is developmental. You don't bring someone in developmental that's 40 years old unless they're a freak of nature. You know, I mean, you bring them in as a trainer. That's why now you see him what you see. If you bring in someone a little bit older in age, they really got to bring it in a special way. So Mercedes Martinez, I wish WWE would have brought her in 10 years ago. I would have loved to see Mercedes Martinez in WWE 10 years ago. Right before the, you know, the women's revolution, you know, what they were doing with Steph and, you know, bringing up the Four Horsewomen and everything. So, all right. I'm looking. Ooh. Be nice if I look at the current questions. Yeah, you know what? I got to give the Yankees credit. About 10 days ago, there was a couple of categories I was concerned about, and they've been on a roll. And but if you also go back to what I said 10 days ago, I said it was very early in the season. So, you know, you have to give teams time to really click. And they are clicking on all cylinders right now. It is, I tell you the truth, this reminds me of 1986. It does. When I mean, it reveals how old I am, but when I was a baseball fan in 1986, the Mets were insane, 108 wins. The Yankees were pretty damn good as well. You know, they obviously didn't make the playoffs, but the Yankees did pretty good in 86 too. 85, they did great. The Mets were great in 85. Just, what was it, the Cardinals? That kind of, yeah, the Cardinals fucked up the Mets in 85. The Cubs screwed up the Mets in 84. 84 to 86 really was the 3 years that the Mets really became serious contenders. So I watched a little bit of Impact over the weekend. I haven't finished yet. I'm going to watch the rest of it tomorrow. I'm very concerned about their audience. Very concerned. I mean, that just proves what we've been saying. The freaking Briscoes were on. You know, you go, and speaking of, Jonah and Willie Mack are no longer with Impact. Now I'm starting to think, could Jonah or Willie Mack end up being the Joker in the Owen Hart tournament? I went with Claudio Cesaro, which you know is Cesaro. I'm going with Cesaro as the Joker in the tournament. But now I'm thinking, like, I could see Jonah being in that tournament. Jonah versus Samoa Joe? Battle of the Titans. That might actually happen. So remember I said this, Jonah, Willie Mack, but I'm going to still stick with Cesaro. So my favorite year of what? If it's baseball, it's 86. It's not even close. As a Met fan, 86. As a Yankee fan, it's probably 77 because of Reggie. So, oh, by the way, Reggie tonight brought a tear to my eye. I was so happy to see this. Reggie got squashed on main event. T-Bar beat him. And Akira Tozawa got squashed on main event, losing to Apollo Crews. So this wedding storyline, now they're getting squashed on main event. Good, good. You know, nothing personal against Reggie, but 6 months from now, I don't see Reggie in WWE. Just being honest. All right, let's call it. I'm going to get out of here. It's been fun. Great night tonight. Slept like shit yesterday. But I think tonight will be different. Again, on your way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, hit that like button. It helps. If you're not a subscriber yet, consider subscribing. If you're not a channel member, go check that join and watch the video and see. Maybe it interests you. Tomorrow, I will be here from 8 to 10. The NXT Watch Party. I will post a preview in the community section here and on Twitter, and I'll reveal tomorrow what our giveaway deal will be. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Everybody that won CM Punk cards from Friday, they will be going out tomorrow in the mail. And yeah, tomorrow on Patreon, right after NXT is over, I will be live, and it is off the cuff week. So everybody, if you have a question or a comment you want me to answer, just go to the Patreon page, and there is a thread up there right now, and you can post it, and we'll talk about it. So thank you, everyone. Fun night tonight. I don't know, maybe because I talked to Mish earlier and, you know, got to really squash things. Obviously, I have to prove it, you know, everybody. I mean, you know, I realize some of my faults. You know, I mean, I'm not the only person, obviously, with faults, but you know, a 17-year friendship. You know, look, shows are shows. I mean, you know, okay, we're not doing shows, but it's more than that. It's not just, oh, we're not doing shows anymore. You know, let's go our separate ways and be, guy's a friend. You know, hey, Mish, if you happen to see this, still got your fucking one chip challenge for Christmas. Sent me the fucking chip. We did this already. He wants to do it again. It's supposed to be hotter than before. So who knows? Maybe that'll happen still. All right, everybody. Have a great night. All the best. Enjoy NXT tomorrow. Dynamite on Wednesday. If I see you tomorrow on the watch party or Patreon, that's awesome. If not, I hope to see you Thursday night, 9:05 p.m. Be well, everybody. Stay safe.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.